Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Guess who's back for real this time? It's not temporarily. Hey, everybody, I'm back. My wife and I moved into our new home. We settled. I celebrated my birthday. It has been a great ride, and I appreciate all the patience that you've given. I've been wanting to make some episodes for you, but like I said before, with the moving, it was a lot. And honestly, I needed a quick break. And now that I got one, It's so refreshing. I encourage you all to really just take a quick breather from your work, from everything. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. So to welcome you all back, I had an interview with a good friend of mine. His name is Jonas Bull, who is a anthropologist, technologist, podcaster, ultra runner, and terrible guitarist. He said his reason for being is simple: to present knowledge to others in a way that makes them think. He believes that's important, but dangerous, and he wants to inspire people to have ideas. He's the owner of Toro Strategic, host of the Education is Painful podcast, and co-host of the Noonish Sports and Tech Show. He came today with a story of how he had to forgive himself and how he had to get past his self-destructive tendencies. When I tell you this interview was amazing, it was amazing. So please, enjoy this interview. You'll learn something from it. Also, for the new listener and for the existing listeners, please leave us a 5-star written review. It helps the podcast get more reach. And without further ado, here's the episode. Yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten. I have a good, friendly guest with me, Mr. Jonas Bull. Say hello, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, man.
Good morning, and good life.
Yes. So, funny story. We met through a course about how to better our podcast. And I just spoke about what my podcast was, and he said he was interested in being a guest. And I said, please come on.
Yeah, yeah, I think that course has turned into as much of a support group as it is a course.
Yeah, and honestly, I think we all need that. We all, you know, need that. So shout out to Veronica Abrams for creating a space for that and definitely helping us out, because you know I have a lot of questions. But definitely thank her for that. So tell the people about yourself.
Well, so I am Jonas Bull. I'm the executive director or whatever title I want to give myself of Toro Strategic, which is an information consulting company. And recently, last couple of years, I started working with a good friend of mine, Jonathan J.A. Anderson, and Mark Clayton, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens. Doing a podcast, Noonish Sports and Talk, and that has been an awesome experience. Where we talk about sports and technology, and there we go.
Fellow Ravens fan. Man. So as soon as you said that, I said I got to bring this out.
Yeah, that's been a great experience. Mm-hmm. I've just learned so much from those guys and from the guests that we've had on. And then I've recently started a podcast called Education is Painful, about hard lessons learned from somebody who always learns their lessons the hard way.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, and so we've had some good stuff. Latest episode drops actually as we're recording this, with Vince Pacenti, Olympic downhill skier.
Nice.
Oh, goodness. I'm gonna definitely put a link in the show notes for that for to y'all to catch that, because I want y'all to catch on to that, because whew, that tagline, that hit me. I'm gonna check that one out. So here's the question that I have for you, just icebreaker. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Huh. The best piece of advice I've ever been given. Don't eat the yellow snow. No, seriously.
Oh, man.
Seriously, I think, you know, I think that the best advice I ever get is constantly being updated, because I'm constantly getting new input from all these different people.
Yeah.
But I think one of the best things I've ever heard was from a guy who does a has a like a sustainable farming thing, and pushes that to, you know, like to do like urban gardening and things like that.
Yeah.
And he was asked once, you know, well, how does that fix this problem? How does that fix this problem? And he, you know, and he said, look, man, we don't have to fix every single problem to start fixing some of the problems. And that was like, and he just popped that offhand. That wasn't like a thing that he says all the time or anything, but it just blew my mind when he said that, because I was like, we spend so much time trying to get everything perfect before we do something that nothing ever gets done. And if we just start with, look, here's one thing I can fix.
Yeah.
And fix that. And like do that. It. Then we can start fixing some stuff.
I like that. I like that. That's a good one. I like that one.
It was so mind blowing to me, because he just rattled that off as a, you know, almost, you know, like somebody was kind of badgering him a little bit about, well, how's your sustainable farming going to fix this problem? And he's like, look, man, you don't have to fix everything to start fixing something.
Yes. And I feel like, honestly, that's life. We try to fix everything. Right. We try to fix everything.
Get
we
it can't all just right.
Exactly. If we can't fix everything, you know, we get frustrated, depressed. So
yep.
Get that. For me, the best advice I was given, this is probably given to the general populace, but I'm going to say Tyler Perry. He won an award, and he said, a lot of people are upset because a certain award show didn't include them. They weren't invited to the table. So I decided to create my own table. And that really hit me, because a lot of times we're waiting for other people to create what we want, or them to do what, you know, will help us right. up. And in times like we have the power, we have the ability, we have the creativity to create our own stuff. And that really got me, because there are times I would sit there and watch a TV program and say, yeah, I would write it this way. Or why don't they do it this way? And then I'm just like, why not? I can create something that'll do that. So honestly, when I heard it's like, you know, to go out and create your own, change the game.
Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Change the game. Because you know that game that somebody else set up, they set that game up so they can win. They didn't set that game up so you can win.
Yeah. Yes, sir. They did. Oh my God. That's advice right there.
Yeah.
Oh man. So thank you for that. And I'm really glad that we connected. I really did, because I wanted you to be on the show for a while, but you know, life happens. You know what I mean? Now that I have you on, you know, I know you have a story about forgiveness, and I want you to just please tell us your story. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, and I know you've done this before, but just to review the definition of forgiveness is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone, you know, like for an offense or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, but also to cancel like a debt, like to forgive a debt. And the thing, you know, the thing to me, the forgiveness that I struggled with probably the most was forgiving myself. And, you know, one of the things that I think I struggled with on that was even recognizing that there was a need to forgive myself, that was even a thing that could happen. And there's a particular story where I think a lot of this started for me, but it really started before that. Like so many things start so far back, so deep in like your childhood or whatever. And a lot of times it's not even necessarily something huge. I mean, like it'd be great. It sounds good when you can tell the story that, oh, you know, I was abused, or, you know, somebody did this thing to me, but it's not always that. Sometimes it's just small things. But for whatever reason, I don't know how or when exactly, but it just never occurred to me that I needed to forgive myself for the things that I failed to do or did wrong or whatever. And so I would try to do right. I try to do what I thought was right or what I was told was right. And I naturally expected that the outcomes would follow from that, right? And so naturally I failed sometimes, but as often as not, I would try to do these right things, and then reality would fail to live up to the expectation. Like, you know, even though I was doing the right thing, those outcomes were not following.
Mm-hmm.
And between my own failures and between the failures of things to, I guess, maybe live up to my expectations, kind of like you said before, that I was expecting the game to reward me playing somebody else's game.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then of course, you know, there's so many ways that you fail doing that. But I fell into this cycle, almost like a codependent cycle with myself. I don't know if you've ever seen the drama triangle. The drama triangle is this thing about relationships where there's different roles that people play.
Right.
Maybe like you may play the victim, which is the person who's, you know, oh, everything is my fault. Everything is attacking me. You know, everything is against me. And then there's the person who plays the role of the rescuer. The rescuer comes in and says, oh, I'll help you with this. And then there's the persecutor role, who says, This is all your fault. You're making me fail or whatever. And those roles change. They rotate through. Like the victim will become the rescuer or become the persecutor, and they rotate through, and that perpetuates that codependent cycle. And I was sort of having something sort of like that just in my own self, where I would have this failure and feel like that was a victim. Then I would get on myself, you know, like man, you're so stupid. And then I'll turn it around and be like, okay, I got to pull myself up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that by yourself. Like it never works.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I just kept this going. I would go from this. I'm going to do right. I'm going to get right. I'm going to do everything right. And then fail something, could even be something trivial, but it would trigger this sort of self-destructive cycle, mm-hmm. spiral, and just keep rolling through that. And so, you know, at one point, you know, I had started college. You know, it's not like we had tons of money, so I was depending on some scholarships and things, and wasn't quite making the grades that I thought I needed to. For that, I could have, looking back on it now, I know what I could have done some things different and probably been fine. But I was thinking, you know, well, all right, what am I going to do here? So I thought, like a lot of kids back in that part of time, I thought, I'm going to join the Navy. I'm going to be a Navy SEAL.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I may be the only podcaster who was in the Navy who wasn't a Navy SEAL. I think that's a pretty popular thing to be, but that was not me. I joined, got in. I thought, man, I'm strong. I'm tough. I'm young. I'm tough. I'm in pretty good shape. I should be able to do this. And I got there and found out real quick that I was not strong. I was not tough. And I was definitely not ready to do that. And it was, that was probably the, you know, it wasn't the first time, but that was probably the hardest time that I just ran head first into the wall of my own limitations. And most of that was not physical. Most of that was very much being mentally and emotionally prepared. And, you know, the one thing that I can looking back on it, that I can tell you about that kind of training is that you better be prepared to not live up to your own expectations.
Yeah.
And be ready to forgive yourself and for that and move past it, because it's going to happen. And so, you know, that was the, not the, not the beginning of the end, but that was a bad time for me. And because I was in this cycle of, you know, self-destructiveness and rebuild and self-destruct and rebuild, you know, I just internalized that and tried to, you know, I just didn't deal with it at all. And kept on rolling through with life. I mean, I have done some pretty cool things during that time, but just never dealt with the fact that all these little failures and little, you know, just little stupid things that you do wrong, or, you know, make stupid mistakes, or, you know, you get mad at your wife and say something you shouldn't or whatever, that build up and build up and build up. And because I'm in this self-destructive cycle, that means that I keep doing, like, the higher I try to get, the lower the downside becomes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward over several years and several cycles of stuff, picked up, wife number one is now ex-wife number one. And, you know, ex-wife number two. And, you know, and she's got her problems too. I think she would even probably admit that, maybe, just not to me, but we had some, you know, things went off the rails, and, you know, I was doing some things I probably shouldn't have been doing. She was doing some things she probably shouldn't have been doing. And, I reached a point where I could not, couldn't live with myself anymore. I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I knew that there was no exit. Like, I was in this game that there was no path forward that didn't lead to more pain and suffering for everybody. And honestly sat on the front porch of the little house that we had in. Because she was gone, she took the kids, left, and I sat out there on that front porch with a gun. I wasn't planning on shooting myself, but I was, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, like, just not sure what I'm gonna do. And I had been recommended to this guy for marriage counseling, and so I called him up and I said, I don't think this is gonna be marriage counseling, but I would like to come talk to you. And so he agreed to see me, and was pretty quick about it that first time. You know, I think he recognized that there was a crisis going on. And I expected that to be different than it was. I'd never really been to counseling before, and I don't know what I thought it was going to be like, but it wasn't that. And I also kind of expected there to be some quick, you know, like you said, I was expecting him to be the guy who comes in and gives me some advice. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do it right now. And that's not what it was. It was more of a, you know, so tell me what's going on. What do you think about that? Why do you think you do that? And making me take a close look at things that I was doing and why I was doing them. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in that process, he was able to get me to see that I needed to give myself permission to forgive myself for some things.
I like that. Keep going. I like that. Keep going.
So, you know, that's the thing is that's tremendous amount of freedom that you give yourself when you can forgive yourself. You know, I'm not the strongest. I forgive you. I'm not the first. I forgive you. Not the smartest. I forgive you. I'm not the best. I forgive you. And the thing is, like, you would think, like, this sounds like it would be a perfect recipe for, like, being a guy that's just lazy on the couch, right? Like, which you could say, I'm lazy. I forgive you. But that's not what happened. What happened was, and I have seen this since with other people, what happens when you forgive yourself is, when you learn to forgive yourself, is that massive weight of guilt and shame that you've been carrying around for however long, when you give yourself permission to put that load down, you find that you've got strength and motivation to keep striving to be all those things that you couldn't be before. And you can be okay with reprioritizing those things. So sometimes you don't need to be the smartest all the time. You don't need to be the strongest all the time.
Yeah.
But you can still work towards, you know, being a better person. And those things that you do like that will be like ghosts. They talk about skeletons in the closet. But those things like that can be ghosts that just follow you around and haunt you every day. And there's really only one thing you can do to exorcise that ghost, to get rid of it. And that's to just accept the fact that it's there and let it go. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't try to make amends. That doesn't mean you don't make restitution when you can. But until you can accept the fact that I screwed up and put that weight down, then you're never going to be able to really get past it, no matter whether anybody else forgives you or not. And that's powerful stuff to me.
You daggone right is powerful. I mean, I'm sitting here just like, yes, keep going. Keep going. And you're absolutely right. The thing, you said so many gems. I'm gonna pick up on one that I wrote down. It's a weight.
Yeah.
And the key thing that you said was, it's the little things that you don't forgive yourself for. Those little things can add up to like a great weight. And it weighs down on you, not just mentally, but emotionally. And that could affect you physically. And the thing is, once you're able to forgive yourself and let that go, so much freedom, so much relief is released from it. So well,
have you ever seen one of those weight vests, right? Like the weight vests people use to exercise?
Yeah.
You ever looked at the weights that they put in there?
No.
So a lot of times, not all of them, but a lot of those weight vests have little pockets around them, right?
Right.
Little small pockets, like you know, about half this, you know, about the length of your finger, you know, maybe the width of your hand. And they have a little weight that goes in there. And you pull that one little weight out, and anybody, a child, can hold it in their hand. It's not heavy. That one weight is not a thing. But when you put one in, and then you put another one in, and then you put another one in, and you put another one in, and after a while, it's so overwhelming that it just drags you down.
I love that metaphor. I love that metaphor. I love that analogy, because that's so true. You know, that's so true. Because I never thought about it that way. I've seen them, but I've never seen like the little weights that go in there.
Yeah. Well, and some of them are even sandbags, right? Which is even worse.
Oh my gosh.
How small is a grain of sand? But by the time you accumulate a lifetime of that stuff.
And I've had to carry sandbags to help like weigh some things down.
Right.
I don't wish that on anybody to carry those sandbags. Right. But it's that's powerful. That's so true. It's that's so true. And
Here's okay. So I told you this is your show, so feel free to take back.
No, keep going. Keep going.
But I've been talking to people and learning so much over the years, but I guess paying attention to things differently recently and realizing that there are people in various situations for various reasons that come out of their baby crib with sandbags that other people have applied to them because they're born female, because they're born into certain family, because they're born Black, because they're born Latino, because they're born in the South, because they're born in the Bronx, because they're born poor, and they're sandbags that they get stuck with. And it's easy for people to say, well, you know, you just, that's not you, just shake that off and move on. But what I've had to realize, and what people have been telling me and explaining to me very patiently in some cases, that what that feels like is the same exact feeling of guilt and shame, even though you personally didn't do anything to deserve that. You still are carrying that weight of guilt and shame. And the same exact process of putting that load off and forgiving yourself for being, you shouldn't have to, but that's how you get rid of that load. And same thing, once you get rid of that load, the power and strength that you have to change your life and change other people's lives is multiplied way beyond the weight that you put off.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I'm going to speak for me. When I had to forgive myself of the opportunities I had but passed on, because I was just like, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to forgive myself, I just felt so much freedom from that. It was like the weight was lifted off.
Right.
And I was able to move freely and just, you know, continue to do things that, you know, when the opportunity came, I was able to do it. So it's not just weight lifted off. You learn from it. You learn better from that.
Yes.
So really quickly, you said you served the Navy. So first, thank you for your service. Really, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And so really quickly with the, I remember you said that there was some when you did some self-destructing, like what was going through your mind during that, you know, self-destruct process?
Well, it definitely wasn't anything like, man, if I do this terrible thing, it's going to improve the situation.
Right.
It was definitely not that.
Right.
And I think sometimes people looking in from the outside think, well, why did you think that was going to help? I was like, that's not what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things that goes through your mind when you're in that downswing cycle is you think, I deserve this. Mm. So you may have heard the story from the Bible about the prodigal son.
Yes.
So he's this young man who has a wealthy parent, and he goes to his father and he says, hey, Dad, I deserve this inheritance. It's mine. I deserve it.
Yeah.
And so the dad gives him his inheritance. He goes to this other place and he starts spending his money like all young men do on, you know, fancy cars and betting on the ponies and hooking up with the ladies and drinking and eating and right. And all that time he's saying, I deserve this. Look, I got the money. I'm the guy. I'm the man. I deserve this. But then when the money runs out, the women's gone, the food's gone, the friends are gone, and he's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And he finds himself in a bad situation, wishing he could eat the pig slop. And at one point he looks at himself and says, man, I deserve this. And the powerful, the part of that story, this is a different kind of forgiveness, but eventually that son goes back to the father and says, I don't deserve to be your son, and I don't deserve to be a servant on your place here, but I beg you to let me be a servant.
Yes.
And the father says, I forgive you. And because I forgive you, you do deserve to be my son.
And the father just hugged his son hugged his son, and he threw a party for him.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And golly. That's craziness. Craziness. But
and he, you know, and the thing about that to me is the father didn't throw a party because he knew that his son was never going to make any more mistakes. Mm-hmm. He didn't welcome him back because he knew that this kid who's already made a bunch of mistakes is going to be perfect from now on. Mm-hmm. He welcomed him back because the father had that love for the son that he knew that's what he needed.
Yeah. Yes.
He had every right to say, you know, to go back out there and slop the pigs.
Yeah.
But because he loved and cared about his son, he said, no, you're forgiven.
Yeah. I still love that story. Even though I know the story, I still love hearing it. And I love the parable. And there are times, I'll be blunt, I'll speak from that. There are times where I was like, I deserve that. Yeah. I deserve that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I did this. So, I get it. And that's something even I struggle with, is forgiving myself at times. You know what I mean? Because there's a old saying, which I hate, they said, if you knew better, you do better. And there are times, even though you know better, you still don't do better, whether it be intentional or unintentional. Right. Intentional. So that really helps forgive yourself with that. When you forgave yourself, what were the biggest things that you took away from that? Or like, what did you learn from when you forgave yourself?
Well, I think the first thing, one of the things I think sometimes we do a disservice to people that are going through stuff, is that it's a process. It does not, it's not a big, you know, those like science movies where they flip that big switch and like everything's, it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like that at first, but the reality is that it's a lot of little things that have to happen over and over again, and building a cycle of forgiveness and recovery versus a cycle of failure and self-destruction is a long, it takes just as long as it took you to get there.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more rewarding of a process. This actually, I didn't actually hear this from myself, but my current wife, my new wife, who's a wonderful lady, had introduced me to the idea of it's progress, not perfection.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Please keep going. Keep going.
Well, I mean, just, you know, because she's been through some stuff too, and that idea that just because you have turned this corner, everything's not going to be perfect. You know, just because you have, you know, given up some lifestyle that was giving you problems, whatever that might be, doesn't mean that everything's going to be magically okay now. You're going to have to keep going through some of that stuff and building on that process. Like I said, just as much time as it took you to be self-destructive and get yourself into that hole, it's going to take you just that much time to keep building out of that hole. But to me, just me personally, the big lesson to learn was that you cannot, you should not, and you don't have to do it by yourself. There's other people who will love you despite your failures. There's other people who have probably already forgiven you and want to see you do well.
Yeah.
And there's people who are there to help be your strength and help be your, you know, help keep you be your, you know, like I like to talk about guardrails, you know, like they put guardrails on the road to keep,
yeah.
They don't put, look, when the road is nice and straight and safe and flat, they don't have no guardrails on that road.
Mm-hmm.
On that road where there's a bridge or there's a steep turn or something like that,
yeah, put
guardrails up because that's where it's dangerous. And you know, there's people out there who will be your guardrails, who will be your bumpers, will be your coach, you know, whatever it is, to help say, look, hey, you might want to not go that way. Your safety line pull you back from doing something you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And those people are out there, and you know, family and friends and relationships that you have, and that's extremely valuable. And not only, you know, that's something that you should cultivate, and when the time comes, be prepared to reciprocate.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Community is important because, yeah, 9 times out of 10, you're not the only one going through that thing that you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though someone's situation may be different, the principle is still the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? You may not be able to, for example, forgive your dad because you're having issues, but there's someone who's had issues who had to forgive someone who was close to them.
Right.
Or forgiving themselves. So honestly, community is very important. Highly, yeah, highly important. I definitely want to stress that. You also said, and that was very key, when you went to counseling, it says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So when you went to go to counseling, how beneficial was that for you?
It was tremendously beneficial once I got honest,
mm-hmm,
once I got honest with the counselor, which required me getting honest with myself, then it became tremendously beneficial, and like was able to, because you built, you know, it's not that you don't go to a counselor because they've got all the answers. Because they don't. They're just human beings, just like everybody else. What they can help you do, what their training helps them do, is helps them tear down illusions, walls and illusions. Because everybody, especially everybody who's going through these destructive cycles that we get in, you start building up these layers of walls and masks and illusions.
Yeah.
You put on this mask and cover up an injury, or you cover up something that you think is ugly, or you cover up something that you think is weak. And you keep putting these things on but none of them are perfect. And so every time you add more mask, every time you add more, you know, this false armor, you're adding another weak spot. You see another crack appear.
Yeah.
So you put something else on over that. And what the, you know, what a good trained counselor can do is help you tear through some of those illusions and pull off some of those masks and find where the real you underneath that is.
Yeah.
And that's scary because that's vulnerable.
Yes.
Like that part of you is the part that you fear is going to be weak and tender. Just like, you know, just like there's parts of your body that you always want to cover up,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially like if you're ever in a fight or even if you're just in a hard conversation, you find yourself like, you know, like crossing your legs and crossing your arms. And
yes.
You want to cover up those vulnerable spots.
Right.
But that's where that's where your strength comes from.
Yeah.
And that when you are willing to open that up, you know, to a counselor, to a family member or whatever, again, that's that strength. You find that strength is multiplied way beyond the weight of whatever you had to take off to get to that point.
When I first realized that vulnerability was a strength, it changed my whole mindset, changed the whole game. It really did, because I come from a family that's basically says that's nobody's business.
Right.
That's nobody's business. They don't even know that. That's none of their business. You know what I mean? But there are times where, even though, okay, it's our business, but it could help somebody.
Yeah.
You never know. Now, I'm not saying give people your social security number, but what I'm saying is when you've gone through a struggle, or at times you are going through a struggle, you know, talking to somebody helps, because you never know what you're going through. They're going through as well. So you have someone to walk with you.
Right.
Or someone who has overcome that and you can learn from them. Or someone isn't where you are, but they're heading toward that. And now you have pointed them away from the struggle you're going through.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it says, you know, it's better to give than receive. And giving of yourself, of that vulnerability, you just help somebody. You just bless somebody. So that's something I definitely, when I did this podcast, I was vulnerable. I said, well, here I am. Take me as I am.
This has got to be one of the most vulnerable podcasts to be the, like, you really have put yourself out there with.
Yeah.
With that. I mean, but it's awesome. And I mean, I feel like, I don't know. It's cathartic to even just be talking about it today and think that maybe somebody will be helped by this.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but.
I honestly, let me say this. There are people who struggle with forgiving themselves, including myself.
Right.
And your story will definitely help. You know what I mean? It could help. Honestly, you'd be surprised. It will help. It could help one person. It could help 20. But we could help more than that. But then trust me, what you may think is insignificant or you think won't help somebody, it will. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't think this podcast was going to do anything. I thought only 8 people were going to listen to it. And 2 of them were my parents. And now, you know, seeing, you know, where it is now, you know, I'm definitely thanking God. This, like, your story will help someone. Your story is going to help someone. And this, you're being vulnerable. So your story will help somebody.
Yeah. Let me share one more thing with you.
Sure.
That just has very recently, like, it happened over the course of years, but it just clicked with me, like, just very, very recently, just in the past few days, even, that my grandmother, my grandmother died a few years ago.
I already hear that.
She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. Loved everybody, loved to take care of, you know, she only had my mom, was her only child, but she had more kids than.
Yeah.
But what a side of her that I didn't register, didn't click with me until just very recently, that I would, you know, you wouldn't see it laid bare most of the time, but there was some stuff going on with my daughter, who's doing great now, but she was trying to do some things, and my grandmother said, people like us can't do stuff like that.
Mm.
And it was, you know, it wasn't like a grand pronouncement. It was just, you know, something that was in the middle of a conversation, but obviously it stuck with me.
Right.
It was in my head.
Right.
And kicking around in there. And I was listening. I was listening to a podcast, and the host said was talking about that sometimes people say things like, people like us aren't able to do things like that. People like us are not like those people who succeed.
Yeah.
And that just the way that it was phrased triggered that to come back up into my mind and realize how much of like my mom's life and my dad's life, because he really didn't have much in the way of parents, and how, you know, how much in my life and my brother and sister's life was dominated by that thought that people like us can't do those kinds of things. People like us are not able to make it in that kind of a world. And, you know, that's wrong. Like, I love my grandmother very much, but she was wrong about that.
Yeah.
People like us are the people who make things happen. People like me and people like Dwayne are the people who have the creative ability and the power to do amazing things.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a story about forgiving my grandmother, but forgiving myself for that feeling of unworthiness that I grew up with.
Yeah. I'm really glad you said that. Thank you for saying that, because that's common a lot of times. We'd be like, oh, that's what they do. We don't do nothing like that.
Right.
That's
right.
Common. And what I got from that is that you're breaking a generational curse. You broke that. At first, you said we didn't do that, but I'm doing that. It ends with me. I have the ability. I got this. I can do it.
Right.
And when it starts with me, it's going to continue forward. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. I want to say thank you for coming on this podcast, man. Just thank you for coming on and just, you know, blessing us with your story. Just thank you for that. I appreciate it. So the floor is yours. I want you to tell people how they can contact you, the projects you have, social media. Just, this is your chance to promote yourself. So just tell the people everything you want, everything about you.
Well, I would say that, you know, I'm pretty easy to find on social media. I'm either the Jonas on Facebook and that kind of stuff, or Jonas Bull, but with the L's replaced by ones on Instagram and LinkedIn. But yeah, I'm pretty easy to find on any of those. If you find a Jonas Bull that doesn't say something about being a polymath and a terrible guitar player, that's not me.
All right, and
check out those podcasts. I mean, Noonish is not about me. It's about some pretty amazing guests that we get on there and talking about how badly the Dallas Cowboys are going to do and how great the Sooners are going to do. but Education is Painful. That's my other podcast. It's new. It's a completely different format from Noonish. And you know, talk to some pretty incredible people about just some off the wall crazy stuff that that they have learned over the years.
All right. I'm going to put all that.
There's Torah Strategic if you want to pay me for my for my wisdom.
All right. And what I'm going to do is, if y'all didn't catch that, I'm going to put that in the show notes that y'all can connect with Jonas. I want you all to connect with him. Again, Jonas, just thank you for coming on, being a guest, telling your story. I appreciate it. I really do, man.
Man, thanks for having me. This has been great.
That was another great interview. Oh my gosh, that was another great one. It's like he said, you don't have to be the smartest or the strongest to forgive. That was powerful. I'm going to keep that with me. Jonas, I want to thank you, honestly, for coming on to the show and just being open and transparent with your story. I appreciate that. Again, for all new and existing listeners, please leave us a 5-star written review on iTunes. It helps the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please share this with other people. You never know what they're going through, and the episode you just listened to may help them. I also wanted to let you know the Power of Forgiveness is on Instagram. That link is in the show notes. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Imagine what it would be like to no longer hold anger in your heart and forgive the people who have hurt you. Imagine finding the career that you were meant to have. Well, that's what coaching can do for you. At Breakthrough Coaching, we connect with people who want to break through the wall that keeps them from forgiving someone that has hurt them and finding the career they have always dreamed of. If you or anyone you know wants to break through the wall that is stopping you from these goals, schedule a session with us. That link is in the show notes below. We would love to help and see you thrive and achieve the goals that you have. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.